Love Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
How you doing, brother Abdul, this evening?
Oh, assalamu alaikum. I'm doing well, my brother. Doing well. And yourself?
Everything's pretty good. We got a few... I see our boards is lightening up. We're going to go to a quick sponsor break. And after a quick sponsor break, we'll come back and introduce our guest this evening.
Fantastic.
Be right back.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our Peppermint Foot Rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin?
And good evening. Welcome back to the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. I am going to now go to our guest evening. And we're going to be switching over to Delaware. Swan, are you with us? Again, Ms. Swan, are you with us? Okay, I'm going to give Ms. Swan a chance. I think I see right now. Again, let me go and try this again. Ms. Swan, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, loud and clear. How are you this evening?
I am doing just fine, and how are you?
It's fine. Looking forward to your educating us this evening, of course. We're going to turn it over to you for your information on, the need for black educators in our community. So, Ms. Swan, we're looking forward to your positive message.
Thank you.
And we'll turn it over
thank
to
you very much. I want to thank the New Africa Business Association for allowing me the opportunity to continue my series. As you know, the series is on best practices and approaches to educate our own black children as well as ourselves. And so tonight I'm going to talk about the need for black educators, black male educators, and positive black male role models. A question from our host, Bilal Bynum, arose at a previous radio blog show regarding the effects on black children being educated by mostly white teachers, and why aren't there more black teachers available to teach our black children? So tonight, to answer Mr. Bilal's question, First, we are aware that in education, one size does not fit all. Eurocentric learning and instructional approaches and practices have to identify with Afrocentric perspectives and applications. So why are there so few Black educators, and more specifically, why are there so few male Black educators? This presentation will consider four ways, namely economic stability, especially salaries, systemic and racial inequities, a third one, gender-related issues, and four, technology's impacts. First of all, gone are the days when even the most highly qualified, talented, and well-educated Black people in the past were confined to being teachers, preachers, and menial laborers. A Black Enterprise article reveals today's Generation Z is more salary-focused, and Generation Z prioritizes money for their time and their skills so that they can pay off their debts, especially before going on to buying homes or having children. And Generation Z also believes education is not worth the cost, so they must pursue higher education to increase their earning potential. So Black college students who want to pursue a career in education, especially as teachers, are caught in a serious dilemma. So we're going to take a look at some reasons why this problem persists. As has already been presented, money matters. For the school year 2017-18, the average teacher salary starts at $40,000, and it peaks at $60,477. And economists are warning us that teacher salaries are on the decline because of the rising cost of living, high education costs, health care, and retirement costs. So let's take a look at these statistics in general pertaining to the learning power of Black college graduates. The Economic Policy Institute, known as EPI, found that because of race alone, as well as systemic obstacles, it is harder for African Americans to obtain gainful employment. Also, EPI points out Black college graduates are more than twice as likely to be unemployed as white men, as of a 2014 statistic. 60% of college graduates had jobs that require a degree, 2018 statistic, and only 27% of Black college graduates work in careers in their major fields. According to Velocity Global in their 2020 report, African Americans have an unemployment rate almost double that of the overall U.S. population. For example, the unemployment rate 2010 for young Black graduates was 9.4% in the age range of 24 to 29 years old. But for white college students, 4.7% was the peak unemployment rate. So you can see the Black unemployment rate for young Black graduates was double that of the white students at their age range. 2017, 65% of employed Black women held white-collar jobs compared to 42% of Black men. On the other hand, 36% of Black men held blue-collar occupations compared to 9% of Black women holding blue-collar occupations. 2017, about 73% of Black males age 25 to 64 were in the labor force. Now we have to consider what the future holds for Black males. in the workforce. A 2020 report from McKinsey & Company titled The Future of Work in Black America suggests, since black men are most likely to be affected by automation jobs takeover, black men should consider instead a bachelor's degree, graduate degree, or switching occupations or reskilling. The McKinsey & Company reports African-American men will suffer the most because automation destroys jobs once held by humans. In particular, automation continues to take away blue-collar jobs. Black American males are the group that will be most affected by the automation takeover of blue-collar jobs. Automation is taking over low-skilled jobs that used to require a human to do because automation does not require sick pay, health insurance, overtime, so forth. Automation takeover of jobs includes robots, software, artificial intelligence known as AI, and so forth. So black males are threatened with job displacement as a result of automation in such categories as office support, secretaries, data entry, food service, fast food workers, production workers, machinists, factory workers, retail workers, health professionals, business jobs, legal jobs, agriculture, and last but not least, teachers. The threat of job loss and displacement, especially for black males, is countered with 10 career suggestions for black professionals, namely, 1, consulting, 2, media and entertainment, 3, technology, 4, advertising and marketing, 5, government, 6, not-for-profit, 7, education, 8, public relations, 9, finance, 10, healthcare. A publication in CNBC.com by Jennifer Liu, Saturday, September 7, 2019, reveals, along with these 10 career suggestions for black professionals, the 10 top jobs expected to grow the most in the next 10 years are, in order of highest pay, 1, physician assistant paying $108,610, nurse practitioners, the second highest, being paid $107,030, 3, information security analyst, third highest paid with $98,350. These 3 top-paying jobs are followed in order by 4, statisticians at $87,780, speech and language pathologists at $77,510, occupational therapy assistant at $60,220, wind turbine service technician being paid $54,370, solar photovoltaic installers being paid at $42,600, and the last 2 making the average of $24,000 will be your home health aides and your personal care aides, again, on average, making $24,000 a year. By the way, a Black Enterprise magazine article on blackenterprise.com reveals 8 jobs for African Americans' average six-figure salaries. They are, in order, director of product, $159,707. Sales engineers, $134,995. Lead engineers, $128,424. Directors of marketing, $128,160. Architects, $116,486, and right at their heels, a product manager, $116,016. Development operations, also known as DevOps, are being paid $108,058, and information technology managers $100,320. So keep in mind, all of this career and salary choices, note the 11 most popular majors are 1, engineering, 2, physical sciences and life sciences, 3, nursing, 4, business, 5, computer science, 6, political science and economics, 7, finance and accounting, 8, psychology, 9, communications and journalism, and last at that list, education, with humanities, liberal arts, English, and history being at the bottom of that major list. Realistically, then, Generation Z must prioritize salary above career choice in order to pay off their ever-increasing college debts and to compensate for their time and skills. So, 1 year out of college, Generation Z graduates now expect to earn a minimum of $57,964, which is $10,000 more than today's average median teacher's salary of $47,000. After all, sound career and financial planning will determine affording their future home and family. Also keep in mind, more and more young blacks who seek entrepreneurship must maintain a very motivated and positive attitude and be prepared for the many challenges, competitions, and setbacks and adversities, as well as unforeseen things. Yakima Anderson, Savannah State University's career service counselor, offers some helpful tips and advice on succeeding in the workforce, namely, take advantage of internships. 2, check for opportunities and helps on university and web resources. Find a mentor in your field. And, of course, join a professional development group. In conclusion, then, my next presentation will be on the need for black educators, black male educators, and positive black male role models to address how the more financially endowed, historically white colleges and universities impact our historically black colleges and universities. Next, how career choices of black college students relate to the overall welfare of the black community. Next, how financial gain in the more lucrative career choices now being made by black college students can be redirected into the black community. And finally, I will need your feedback. Tonight, having listened to some of this information, I need your comments and I need your questions, all welcome to us. So please contact Mr. Bynum at newafricabusinessassociation.com, lowercase, write it out in full. That is newafricabusinessassociation.com. Or contact me, Bernice Swan, at LifetimeAssociates@yahoo.com. One word, lowercase. LifetimeAssociates@yahoo.com. I hope some of this information or all of this information has been of value to us as we look to how we can get the benefits of what our young black educators are doing with their investment and their career choices and with salary being obviously a serious and necessary choice in making their choices, how to show ourselves how we can direct what they're benefiting from those choices back into the black community. So at this time, I will turn everything over now to Mr. Bynum and offer opportunity for any comments, questions, and so forth. Thank you, Mr. Bynum.
And thank you so much, Ms. Swan. Again, I have the mics open. Any questions or comments that we may have for Ms. Swan, the mics are open. We welcome your comments.
I'd like to start. This is Brother Abdul, Sister Swan. How are you today? Thank you.
Just fine, thank you.
I mean, you educated me there on a number of things, and one of the things that struck me most was in the first number of jobs that you listed, the first 10, number 7 was education. And I think that was getting right down to what you were started out talking about, the need for us, you know, having more black educators there. And it was and what I saw was being number 7 meant that there was much lower pay there, less money concern there. And as you said, this new generation is making money over getting into a skilled area. So my take on that is, my question to you is, what do you think about that education being number 7 in the list of priorities that's going to be a factor in running America?
First of all, since we know that the cost of living is going to increase, we can see why our young people are going into careers where their salaries can meet that rising cost of living. So we can do other ways of letting these now well-educated young people and older ones too come back into the community with our own educational programs through any number of venues. Perhaps we can go on the very top level of letting nationally whoever is in charge of the educational setup make education much more inclusive. And, of course, we're seeing this now on just in regular media where people are demanding that they're no longer hoodwinked into believing that the traditional Eurocentric education is the way to go. Even worldwide, people are much too wise to fall for that anymore. Education must become inclusive. If you are, and I know the young people will be going into the more lucrative careers, find ways in your various local schools to make sure that they are setting up programs where you can go into those programs after school, a part of the school curriculum, Saturday programs, additional programs added to what the curriculum is doing. There are any number of ways where you can get busy with, I know I am an engineer, a lead engineer, but I can go back into the community, go back into the school systems, and take my expertise into that school, into that whatever that community program is, use my knowledge there, and still make my money to pay my bills, buy a home, raise a future family. It's all a matter of being creative. I know that when I was teaching, we had what was called the Forum to Advance Minorities in Engineering. And because people had their various careers, teachers included, but other various careers outside of that, on Saturdays, we made sure that the minority, black and minority children were given opportunity to go to Saturday school where they were supplemented with the education things that they need. Also, I was with the programs for helping the young people learn about themselves. And so we had another community program where the children were given rites of passage instruction. And so they had excellent opportunity from people from all kinds of careers in the black community to come to the Rites of Passage program to make sure the children were getting their black educational needs met. That happens in the Latino communities. They do it all of the time. It happens in the Asian American communities. They do it all of the time. So if they are finding ways outside of traditional schools until they catch up, if they ever will, we can do our supplemental thing and not go off and enjoy those wonderful salaries and homes and cars and material things. Bring it back in other programs to supplement until such time as the schools are able to bring us into their curriculum planning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. I had one more question to ask. Most colleges, when you go to them, you study and you get a degree in a certain study, but you still have to go out and get a job. Do you know of any schools that not only give you the subject matter that you need when you graduate to go out and be employed in that field, but also colleges that say, even though you're getting the subject matter and you're going to go work out, but the focus is from the beginning when you start is that one day that you're going to go into your own business and a program that might give you the opportunity to talk to people that are in business in what you're studying in. Not only are they in business, but, you know, you have to work, but you have a future opportunity maybe after you get more knowledge about whatever it is that you're studying to open your own business as opposed to going out there with one thing in mind, I just want to get a job and make a lot of money. Do you know of any schools that offer that type of opportunity?
Not necessarily schools that offer that opportunity, although I am sure there are certain schools that will give that kind of lead information, but basically I don't think they're really set up to lead you in that direction. However, there are other organizations. I'm speaking of helping our young black people who want to make some money in order to eventually become independent. So it looks like you have to be dependent on a salary to eventually become independent and wherever you venture into your entrepreneurship. Saying
yes.
That, I know locally we have an organization called, and I think it's national, but I know locally they do much. The Black Professionals of America is an excellent outreach for our young people to find that as they are getting their educations or having already achieved their first degree, reach out to the Black Professionals of America who will be their mentors, who will have insight into where they can turn to for this kind of guidance. Black Professionals of America is a good one. Also, reach out to your fraternities and your sororities. They have their hands out to contact our young people who are seeking their guidance and their knowledge, and they're from all age groups. So especially if you reach out to the older persons in that arena, those black sororities and fraternities are doing many great things to help. I know Delaware State alone is doing an excellent job with helping the students who will not be able to come back to get their educations in the fall because of the corona crisis. And so that has not allowed them to get their summer jobs for their families and parents now who have other expenses that they're going to have to deal with because corona did not allow them to work. And so they're impacted now with not being able to go back to school. And so because of that, Delaware State has an excellent program going where they're asking the alumni alone, you got your education here. Now let's help those who would like to get their education. And I think the latest statistic this weekend, Delaware State far exceeded their $1 million mark. And so now they have set it up at another $500,000. So reach out to your black colleges and universities alumni because they want to reach out to the ones who are now seeking to get their jobs, their educations, but have been impacted by corona and other things too. But corona has definitely done a job. Those schools have alumni that are more than ready to help with fundraising and scholarship raising and endowments and whatever it's going to take to keep those young people and older ones, too, back in school to reach their careers. But in the meantime, yes, as you were saying, we have to have regular jobs and relatively good-paying jobs in order to put ourselves in position to become independent. And the good thing is Generation Z wants to become independent early, and that's a good move because the monies, when they get 65, are not going to be there for any type of Social Security or any type of economic cushion to fall back on. So they already have plans in mind for, let me get this money fast and early, become independent entrepreneur-wise fast and early so that we will not be poor at the end of this road that we're traveling on, the career path. Also, as I mentioned earlier, internships, a good way to get your foot in the door. Going to the websites, go to your university sites that you're interested in to see what they are saying with these opportunities. And as I already mentioned, mentoring from many different levels. And, of course, join or set up your own professional development groups.
Yes. Great. Thank you so much for sharing that information. Really good. Thank you again.
Of course.
Thanks, we're going to go to a good evening. We're going to go to a quick good evening. And yes, indeed, go right ahead with your question.
Yes. My name is LaWanda Newton, and I'm so pleased to see that Mrs. Swan is dealing with the educational concerns that we have in our country today. Phi Delta Kappa Sorority is a teacher sorority that has been around over 80 years. And they work with the young people between the ages of 9th through 12th grade. The girls are known to be the Zenos, and the boys are known to be, I forgot the name of the boys right now, but the girls are known to be the Zenos, and the boys, I can't think of the name right now, but they have been around for over 80 years, and they are very willing to work with any young people that are in that age group of 9th through 12th grade. So I did want to mention that because they have been around for quite some time, and we are very willing and able to assist young people. They help them to develop ways to handle the future. They help them to develop their careers in the educational areas, and we expose them to a lot in the community that would be very helpful in the near future. Thank you.
Sister, what was your name again? Please introduce yourself again.
My name is LaWanda Newton.
And Ms. Newton, how can we stay in touch with you? You know, interesting that you came on, because one of the comments after hearing Ms. Swan's presentation, and like I said, I had asked her some times ago, my interest is why are there so many white teachers teaching our a black youth, and of course I'm learning so much now from educators. The same information that we're learning here tonight, our communities, you see what happens, and the professionals like yourself abandon our black communities that we had the privileges of coming up with. When I was coming up in the state of Delaware years ago, under segregation, we had professional African Americans living in the black community. So there was professionals teaching those of us who need to be taught. So when we come back or when we continue, because this is a subject that we just cannot get away from, because teachers, even though statistics are showing that you are at the bottom of look like the professional pay scale, I've been giving this some consideration for a long time. And like you said, if a nurse can make $100,000 a year, there's no reason as to why a teacher shouldn't be making $100,000 a year. After all, it was the teacher that taught the nurse. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. I look forward to hearing from all of you professionals, and this is why I continue to say, please join the New Africa Business Association so we can put together this informative information. I'll be right back after this sponsor break.
Bideman Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bideman Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BidemanAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
And again, welcome back to the show. I am going to go right back and open the mics back up, but I do want to remind all of our listeners of tonight's show. We will continue to have conversations after the blog radio show. We'll be going to the Black Wall Street Northeast Region, Northeast Regional Conference, and we will continue tonight's show on that particular conference. And for those of you who would like to join us, that conference call-in number for tonight is 712-451-0683. Let me repeat it. 712-451-0683. And the code number is 614-060-POUND. 614-060-POUND. So again, right after tonight's show, I'm hoping that many of you will join Ms. Juan on introducing tonight's program to the Black Wall Street Northeast Region. So with that said, I am going to go right back to the mics. Ms. Juan, any comments you'd like to make? I'm going to open the mics back up for questions to you. The mics are open.
I think my chief concern will be you can't expect a person to teach what they themselves do not know. And I'm not using that as a put down. I'm saying that our white teachers are just as much victims of miseducation as black teachers have been and as the current educational program is. And so you cannot expect a white teacher to take Black History 101 and then step into the classroom thinking they are prepared to teach black children or even our other minority children, whether it be your Latinas, your Asians, your Native Americans, whatever. That's just not enough. So it would take a long, long time to prepare white teachers to even begin to understand black history 5,000 years ago up to 2020. But that is exactly what a white teacher, even a black teacher, would need to see a continuum of black history. Some people think African-American history is and education is all you need. It's just a drop in the bucket of the black history and its diaspora. So until you have a continuum of where we come from to where we are, you don't have black history. You just have a little bit of African-American history, but that is such a small educational part of our total selves. And so we have to self-educate, and then any whites who want to come on board with that can then come on board with getting that education. They're not going to get it in their own white institutions because those institutions don't even know. And so they really have to come to us to continually get knowledge in order to eventually be qualified to teach our children. So in the meantime, those people who are qualified to teach our children, look, we have technology now. There is no reason why we can't set up a base where on a weekly basis we can give our children educational knowledge, give our community black educational knowledge, and have those people who want to teach our children equitably join such a forum to start getting educated. They came before Columbus. They need to read that book because we were here in America before Columbus, because the Africans were already trading their excellent wares for Native American wares. Columbus himself realized that the route that he used to try to get here was very turbulent. And he came across the African trade route to America and began using it. Who knows? Of course, they're talking about now about getting rid of Columbus, but maybe not so much getting rid of him as finding out how he learned from African knowledge. We need to go into the Greeks, where Western civilization, knowing no other because they've been miseducated, they believe that that is where knowledge and wisdom and so forth started. Only when you get into African history, you will find that they sat at the feet of the African scholars. And once they learned that information, of course, did not give credit to their African teachers, but instead pretended that they had thought of it. And you see the mess that has made, because you have to give credit where credit is due. When I started teaching in my early years, I was given American literature. And so I let my students and their parents know, since I'm going to teach your children American literature, we are going to start with Native American literature. Well, the parents who were white just about had a hissy fit because they had no idea. Native American literature doesn't even exist, because they themselves were product of miseducation. And so once I taught my children Native American literature, then we were able to move on to American literature. And, of course, that didn't just include white writers. It included all of the writers of American literature, including our wonderful black African-American writers, which, by the way, they would not have gotten if they didn't have a teacher knowledgeable. So it starts with knowledge. It starts with teaching the teachers the truth and the deeper insights into education where they can qualify to teach our children. And right now they're only Eurocentric. And it's not their fault. It's just that American education is set up on a very vain and one-sided way of teaching, and we have to get rid of that. It has to be all-inclusive education, which the world knows now, because technology is teaching whether these teachers are ready for it or not. So people are getting an alter education. Remember, it said technology is also going to affect teaching. So we can also look at what's down the road for teaching, which is more and more people are doing at-home schooling. They are doing, and that is not just at home by themselves, but group at home schooling. They are doing technology based education. It's so many ways now that if America doesn't catch up, America will be left behind, because the world is moving on with a very multicultural basis for learning.
Miss Swan, you know, I was, and the mics are still open. So the general public, anybody have comments, you don't have to wait for your turn. I have it as to where we're hoping this can end up in a general conversation. So if anybody have any, like to interject anything or suggest anything, please, the mics are open.
Yeah, I have a comment, if you don't mind. I'm calling from the Midwest, Mr. P.
Go right ahead. Right,
listen, I'm going to read to you a Missouri state statute as it applies to education. It says, standing the provisions of Section 160514, the State Board of Education and Department of Elementary and Secondary Education shall not be authorized to mandate and are expressly prohibited from mandating the curriculum, textbooks, or other instructional material to be used in public schools. And I won't read anymore. But the people of these public schools already have the power to dictate or have whatever they want to have in their public school districts.
True. It's true.
So why come they don't use it?
I'd like to address that.
Yes, ma'am.
Even though that mandate is there in Missouri, I think it said the...
No, it's not a mandate. It's the law.
It's the law. Okay. The thing of it is, even though that is a law, if teachers and administrators do not know knowledge, they don't know what to put into their instructional materials. Also, keep in mind, when you're selecting the instructional materials, if they are already set one-sided, you're only going to bring materials into the classroom that are not accurate. I'll give you an example. Luckily, about a year ago, when one of the school districts, it may have been in Chicago, I can't remember exactly what city it was in, they decided to select their instructional materials. Thank goodness some black parents took it upon themselves to go through the materials and carefully read them. Now, the teachers and the administrators thought they had selected what they wanted instructionally. However, when the parents read it, it said such things as Africans came to America in search of work.
Can I say something, ma'am?
The parents realized, look what miseducation our children are still going to get. And having spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in instructional material that was miseducating.
Well, could I say something on that?
Please, go right ahead, please. Go right ahead.
Ma'am, the law says the responsibility lies with the people, not the school board. Well, it does, the board, but the board is the people. But not the principal, not the teachers, not the superintendent. It's the people's responsibility. That's what the law says. Now, if the people let the superintendent or the teachers or the principal do what they want to do rather than the parents, that's what kind of our favorite school choice with vouchers.
Right.
Parents has to hold these people accountable.
Yeah. So let me just say this. Again, this is Bilal Bynum again, and I'm so glad this is what the show was meant to do. For professionals all over the country to come together and let's inform each other. But brothers and sisters, I agree. When you allow a structure and you allow yourself to be structured, because like you said, when it comes to our educating our kids, when it comes to schools, that's one of the biggest businesses. When you go out here and deal with these charter schools and these daycares and the money that we're spending at these different places, brothers and sisters, we are a business association. Everything we do in life, it involves business. All the teachers out there, you're teachers, but at the same time, you're business folks. What you know is worth knowledge. So, again, having our own charter schools, having many, many ways of our professionals educating our community, that's our responsibility. I'm not going to take
Absolutely.
Up all the time. I'm not going to take up all the time because I'm the host. I want to hear from my guests. But at the same time, remember, we are a business association, and we're talking about becoming totally independent. And all of us, all of our professionals, everybody out there, I don't care whether you have degrees or whether you have apprenticeships or what have you, education is what our entire community needs, and your knowledge is worth money. So, again, that's what this business association is all about. So I'm opening my back up.
So my question then becomes, and we all know that it should be a people choice, but my question becomes, how can the people choose when they don't know what to choose themselves? We have some people qualified to know how to go into more Afrocentric and all-inclusive multicultural learning, but we have to first not assume that our population knows what to choose. My guess is they do not, because they're products of miseducation themselves. So how can they say what to choose for their children?
Again, this is where it comes back to African Americans educating themselves and being informative to themselves, because when it comes to what is it that we as African Americans know, because we are, I guess we are so involved into many, many different nationalities of what everybody else have taught us. But when it really comes down to what is the African-American's knowledge, what is our true story? How can we tell our true story? We ain't going to know that until we go out here and start doing it. So, again,
absolutely.
As far as this knowledge thing, I'm interested in knowing and hearing from many, many of all of these gifts that we have in our community. This is what we're trying to put together, brothers and sisters. So, again, completely come on to this station. I do not have the answers, but I can definitely come up with questions, and we can all come up, and all together we're going to come up with real close solutions. So, again, we're going to continue this discussion so nobody has to rush. I'll take this number down, because Ms. Juan will be on along with the rest of you, going into the Black Wall Street, because this is the New Africa Business Association. Now we're going to be going into the New Wall Street Association. So we're reaching folks all over the country. So again, let me give you the number where we will just be on in the next 10 minutes. That number will be a call-in conference number, 712-451-0683. I will repeat it. 712-451-0683, a code number is 614-060-POUND, 614-060-POUND, and we will come on at 8 o'clock. So the mic is still open. Claire Thomas, go ahead. Yes, Mr. Bynum speaking.
Mr. Bynum, one of the things that I had mentioned earlier, and it's just the way our present generation is, including the older ones of us, young and old, we love entertainment and learning. And that's an excellent way to get knowledge across. Now, as an English teacher, I often did rapping to my students, because all of my children of all the ethnic groups loved it. And one of the things I want to say out there to the listening audience is, if there is anybody out there who knows some way that I can get my play from 1986, and I did it again in 2006, if there's anybody out there who is in entertainment and you like having entertainment done as a way to learn our history and to educate our children, get in touch with me at lifetimeassociates@yahoo.com, or you can call me 302-836-1719, because entertainment is an excellent way to teach our children without having to go into curriculum and all of that stuff that takes forever to do. You can entertain in a matter of an hour and a half to 2 hours what would take years to do, sitting around round tables talking and revamping a whole lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I've been involved with the education of African-American children since the 1970s, not as a teacher, but as a person of a concern. I was the field director of African Center Curriculum for the St. Louis Chapter of the National Black Uniting Front. We helped and worked to help. what they had in Kansas City. But you hear what I'm saying, what they had. And the reason they don't have it now is because people don't want it, apparently. They don't want it. But the thing that is needed is that you have to educate these children so that they're able to compete in the world, especially in the STEM fields. And right now, that's not being done as well as it should. And there's a demand for African-American students that have these degrees. I've witnessed as many as 400 of them being taken by one corporation at national conventions that's held by the National Society of Black Engineers.
I recall that in my 40 years of teaching, started in the latter part of the 60s until 2007, my students, black, white, Latina, Asian, couldn't get enough of what I was teaching them. So there is a hunger. And that's not just coming from our community. There is a hunger. Now that people know they have been hoodwinked educationally, there is a tremendous hunger in this country and internationally. Let us feed that hunger. Let us not assume that people don't want to know, because I know my children could not get enough. These were high school students. They could not get enough. And I know that as I look at the media now, there are people, now that we have Black Lives Matter, now that we have our focus on ourselves, there are people of all ethnicities who say, feed us. We can't get enough. So let's feed them.
Thanks so much, Ms. Swan. Thanks so much for our guests. We got about 3 minutes left. Brother Aziz, want you to give everybody information on how they can join the New Africa Business Association, and also information on our next show coming up. Brother Aziz. Brother Aziz,
I'm gonna join you in that other line. I want to speak on some other issues as you're talking about business and how you need to prepare your children and make your business successful. So I'll meet you over there at 8 o'clock.
Wonderful. Very good.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to it. And just to let everyone know that again, we still got a couple more minutes. Anyone who has any comments or suggestions, we see the mic is still open. Okay, Brother Aziz, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay,
yes, the New Africa Business Association ongoing Blog Talk Radio show is every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our call-in number is 657-383-1372. And that's 657-383-1372. And if you want to contact us by email, our email address is newafricaba@gmail.com. That's newafricaba@gmail.com. And if you'd like to see some of our associates and businesses that are sponsoring New Africa Business Association, our web address is New Africa Business Association. And that's it. It's New Africa Business ASSOC.com. That's New Africa Business ASSOC.com.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose? My brothers, if there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you had your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend?
and share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?